We're live.
Good evening, everyone. I would like to call the July 12th, 2021 regular session of the University City City Council to order. Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember Clay. Councilmember Klein.
Here.
Councilmember McMahon.
Here.
Councilmember Hales.
Here.
Councilmember Cusick.
Here.
Councilmember Smotherson.
Here.
Mayor Crowe.
Here. Thank you very much. Before us, you have the agenda. During the study session, no one had made any suggestions as far as amending the agenda, so I would welcome a motion that the agenda be approved as presented. Motion made by Mr. Cusick, seconded by Mr. Smotherson. Is there a discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. You see on the agenda a proclamation for Ms. Hazel Irby that council is signing and will provide to the family. I want to take just a moment, and I'm sure my colleagues may have comments that they would like to make either at this time or during council comments as well. To those of you in our community who are not as familiar with Mrs. Irby, that I think everyone pretty much has always called Hazel her entire life. Hazel married Lewis Irby in 1965, and she always described him as the love of her life. She and Lewis had three children, Lewis Jr., Angela, and Christina. She was active in our University City School PTO, a room mother, and as a scout leader. She dedicated many years of service within University City, including her faith community, the police department, and of course, the school district. In 2004, Hazel became the first African-American female elected to the St. Louis County Council and went on to serve as the first African-American female to serve as its chair, representing 38 municipalities. She was a strong advocate for racial equality and a role model for all women, and in particular women of color, in politics and in leadership roles. On behalf of my colleagues, we extend our deepest sympathies to her husband and to her family. She will truly be missed in our community. And I don't know that, that necessarily everyone knows that we also lost another pillar of our community yesterday when Betty Thompson passed away. Betty Thompson survived by her husband Jack and her children Anthony, Sonia, and Kwame. Her son Tyrone Thompson, former Paisley police chief, was killed in 2010. Betty Thompson was the first African American to serve on the University City Council. She was elected in 1980 and served until 1997, when she was elected to be a state representative in the newly created 72nd district. She led many organizations in support of equality and nonviolence. The Kwame Foundation and the Tyrone Thompson Institute for Nonviolence are just a couple to name. She received many awards for her community activism, including the Drum Peace Award, the St. Louis Caring Communities Humanitarian Award, and in 1999, the Outstanding Legislative Mother of the Year Award from the State Senate, as well as others. We again, on behalf of my colleagues, extend our condolences to the Thompson family. And we are so appreciative of all of the gifts and the dedication that both of these women provided to our community for several decades. Thank you. You have before you the minutes of the June 14th study session. Is there a motion to approve? Motion made by Mr. Hale, seconded by Mr. Cusick. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. You have before you the June 21st special session minutes. Is there a motion to approve? Motion by Ms. Klein, seconded by Mr. McMahon. Is there a discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. You have before you the June 25th, 2021 special session minutes. Is there a motion to approve? Motion made by Mr. Cusick. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Clay. Is there a discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. You have before you June 28th, 2021 regular session meeting. Is there a motion to approve? Motion made by Mr. Clay, seconded by Mr. McMahon. Is there a discussion? I believe there is. Mr. Smotherson.
Yes, sir. Mayor Crow, I was just making sure that it's noted that I was absent from that meeting.
Okay. City clerk is nodding her head. any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it.
Oh, Mr. Mayor, I do abstain.
Okay. Thank you. That'll let the record reflect that Mr. Clay and I believe Mr. Smotherson was absent too, abstained. The floor now belongs to Mr. Smotherson.
Thank you, Mayor Crow. I wanted to take this time to nominate James Crow to the Park Commission as a fill-in for a vacated seat. And that again is James Crow.
Okay. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. McMahon. Is there a discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. To all of our citizens who are watching, we appreciate any comments that were provided to us. In this particular case, I'm not sure that we had any that were provided to us. We also have citizens in the audience for the first time. Welcome to you. We are glad to have you here. We are glad to be here. If anyone would like to speak this evening, all we ask that you do is that you fill out one of the sign-up sheets that you have and then provide it to the city clerk. There's a box in front of her. And then we will call on you either during citizen comments or either now or at the end of the meeting. At the present time, I don't believe we have anyone who has signed up to speak, so we will simply move forward with the consent agenda. You have three items on the consent agenda, H1, 2, and 3. Is there a motion to approve? Motion made by Mr. Cusick. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Clay. Is there a discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. Mr. Rose.
Honorable Mayor and Council Members, before I get to the City Manager's Report section of the agenda, there are two items that I would like to comment on. The first item is the storm damage that occurred as a result of Saturday's major storm, which impacted the entire St. Louis region. Many limbs, trees were down, as well as over 50,000 households lost power. Our initial focus was ensuring our streets were passable and addressing any other emergencies that resulted from the downed trees and limbs. Downed trees or limbs should be reported to the non-emergency police number 314-725-2211 or email us at ucitylife@ucitymo.org. On Wednesday, staff will start the collection of non-emergency downed limbs, and it is my intention to have them collect all downed limbs that are placed in the area between the sidewalk and the curb. This is a little different than what has occurred in the past in the sense that we're offering this service to our resident. It is not our intention to collect trees that are not our own, but down limbs, large limbs. Certainly our intention is to collect those. A schedule is being developed and will be released to the public so residents know when we anticipate being on their respective street. We do not know with certainty what the cost for the collections will be at this time because we don't know the volume. If expenses exceed $25,000, it's my intention to ask the mayor and council to ratify my actions. The second item is the issue that we have been dealing with for more than a year at this point, with a different variant, that being the COVID-19 impacts. The positivity rate for St. Louis County currently is hovering around 8%, which is considered extremely high. News reports indicate that the rate is continuing to increase due to the highly contagious Delta variant strain of the coronavirus. If St. Louis County positivity rate exceeds 10%, my intention is to close Centennial Commons gym and workout facilities. The pool will remain open. City Hall will remain open, but I will also work to perhaps restructure how we are allowing public access into the city council chambers. This is due to the limited elevator access that we have to the fifth floor here. Those conclude my comments. Up under the city manager's report, this first agenda item asks council to receive an update from Parks Director Patrick Wall on the library renovation. Mr. Wall?
Patrick, it's good to see you again.
Gotcha. Mayor Crowe, members of council, thank you very much for inviting us here tonight to present an update on the renovation. Joining me is Helen Nelling, who is president of the Library Board of Trustees.
Good evening.
This here. So we're just beginning, as of today, phase one of our renovation project. The delay that the renovation has seen because of COVID, got us thinking that we could do this in two phases, starting with the exterior first. It's taken a little longer to get restarted than we thought. But as of today, they're repairing the brickwork and masonry around the library. They'll be tuck pointing and then sealing the building to keep, we've had a lot of problems with water infiltration over the years. We'll also be replacing all the large windows in the library, which are quite a prominent feature on the building, and then replacing the entry doors. And then during this last part of summer, we've begun preparing for phase two, which is gonna be the major part of the renovations. Somewhere around August or September, we'll be closing the building to the public and moving over to 6900 Del Mar and operating as a sort of a storefront library there. And we're working on an agreement right now with the former church, University United Methodist, to have some office space there and storage so that we can get the books and the items that our patrons request and get them over in a timely manner. We'll have about 10% of the collection in 6900 Del Mar. We'll have computers for people to use and Wi-Fi, among other things, and we'll be continuing curbside.
I think that patrons will see something similar to when we were closed during the worst of the pandemic. While patrons can't come in and use the computers, they can put books on hold, and they'll be curbside delivered. So we're going to try very, very hard to only minimally impact our patrons during this time. But most patrons are pretty excited that eventually the bathrooms will be better.
And as we prepare for phase two, we'll be moving the bulk of the collection into storage. We've got December of 2020, we installed high density storage in the basement of the library that'll allow us to store about 40,000 items down there, about 20% of the library's collection. We're also hoping to store some of the items over the former Trinity Library. And then the third location, as I said, will now be the former UUM. And we've got a new app that patrons can use to put items on hold. And we hope with having the bulk of the collection so nearby, we'll be able to get, pull holds about three times a day and get them to patrons relatively quickly. So in September, the board is hoping to have the phase two documents out to bid, award that contract about that same time. I keep hitting random buttons, excuse me. About that same time, phase one should be complete. They'll have the doors and the windows completely replaced and the building completely sealed. Phase two itself will be the majority of the project. It'll be replacing the entire electrical system, replacing HVAC, replacing the lights, the alarm system, the phones, and doing the interior renovations. The bathrooms, as Ms. Nelling pointed out, are not up to code, not big enough, sort of impossible to get in if you are if you have mobility issues, and the entrance is not visible to staff, which has over the years caused a couple of problems. We'll have all that rectified. We'll be putting in three meeting rooms on the first floor, a quiet study room, and we'll be moving our one-button studio, a popular feature that we've had, out into the public area. We'll also be expanding the teen and youth services areas for the children of University City. This is, and that was the end. And we hope to have phase two completed by, I think now we're looking at maybe May of 2022. And again, thank you for letting us come to present this to you. And if you have any questions, we'd be happy to try and answer those.
Thank you very much. I believe we're looking forward to, as you are, to the beginning and the completion of this project. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Honorable Mayor and Council Members, this next agenda item asks Council to consider a conditional use permit, PC 21-09, approval of the conditional use permit to approve a floor area ratio increase to 2.01 and density to accommodate 252 dwelling units. Mr. Cross, do you have any information to add on this item?
I do not. Mr. Rose pretty well covered it there. I'd be happy to answer any questions that you have.
If we can we have a motion first to approve? Motion sure. Made by Mr. Hales. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. McMahon. Is there discussion or questions either of the city manager? Mr. Hales.
Not really a question, more of a statement and a sort of personal point of frustration. I was out near the site again today. It continues to frustrate me that the lawn around the property and the sidewalk again is probably 14 inches high. I don't think it should take a call from the city for them to cut the grass and stay within the code and keep it looking as nice as it certainly can be given the construction site. So thank you.
Great.
Any other questions of Mr. Cross? I assume the construction fence that blew down onto the, for lack of a better phrase, the back way to Schnucks, it all got put back up?
I will follow up, but I have not checked on that, but I will definitely look into it. I wasn't even aware it was
the
down.
Reason I was going to say is just so you know, I mean, on Saturday and Sunday that reduced that road to one lane, and everybody was kind of having to go back and forth every other, and it's just surprised me that maybe it's not the developer's responsibility, but I mean, it literally blew into traffic, and it was there for at least 36 hours.
I will definitely follow up on that. One thing, and a follow up to Council Member Hales's comment, I think with the preliminary plan, we put a condition in there as well for a construction and maintenance schedule. So we will work to make the developer not only go after him for the property maintenance issues, but get a commitment from them to maintain the site in a best management practice type of manner and keep it clean and safe and secure.
You know, and what I would say, Mr. Cross, is I would think the message you may want to send to the developer that it is quite odd that two members of council brought this up during a council meeting about their upkeep of that property. And if they're going to be wanting to work with us on issues, and we would like their cooperation.
I'd be happy to. Yes, sir.
Any other discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. Mr. Rose.
Honorable Mayor and Council Members, this next item asks Council to consider the approval of an agreement with Trivers substantially in the form of the agreement in the City Council packet. There are a couple of questions regarding this item that I'm aware of, and so I would ask Mr. Appleson to come to the mic. Mr. Appleson, I understand that you have done some work regarding researching to ensure that the price that we are receiving from Trivers as it relates to the cost of the design is consistent with a price for this type of work. Could you comment on that?
Yes, it is. Mr. Rose, there is a the basic services under this contract is about 7.5% of the construction cost for the services, and that is pretty typical in our design services type of work. There is an addition in this contract that brings that percentage up to about 10% or thereabout. That is the portion of that is the work is a little more complex than standard. The structure is the existing structure is a partially historic structure, and so the work on that requires additional services, as well as there are some green practices related expenses that are. All for the long-term life cycle cost and improvement in that for the project. And I believe what we will be now paying will be for the long-term and to avoid some of those expenses in the future in terms of our project, our facilities, ongoing maintenance and operations expenses. The one more thing on this project that we're receiving from this consultant is construction phase services. So the consultant is going to help us during construction. And this is going to be a project this size will cause we never want them, but as you all know, they happen, change orders. Construction claims, and just as standard review of drawings, submittals, requests for information. So the consultant will be on our side pretty much for all those services. So with what's included in the contract and a group of about one major consultant with a major partner and about seven or eight sub-consultants, it's a good coverage at a reasonable price for the industry.
Thank you. There are a couple of other items, if you would. One is I'm interested in adding to the agreement a charrette style for the public to view what is being proposed or as it relates to the design. I want to ensure that there is no issues of concern. I believe Amanda is here that could comment on that.
Hi, thank you. Right now, we posed the question asking for the amount of public participation. If it's a small public charrette, we can look at and make sure that we can cover that inside of the services that we've already proposed. We can talk about how extensive that might be and see if it can be kind of lumped into our current services, and we'll let you know if there's anything that's different from that.
Okay. The second item is regarding historic preservation consulting. And your firm is kind of known for that. And is that a consulting service included in the fee that's being that you're asking for?
Yes, absolutely. Treating these renovations within the preservation standards is part of our work here. We are not, though, including the work that would be required to go after historic tax credits. As we understand, there's not a mechanism right now set up to be able to utilize those.
Thank you for that clarification.
We need a motion to proceed. Is there a motion to approve the Trivers contract? Motion made by Mr. Cusick. Is there a second? Seconded by Ms. Klein.
Just to clarify, the motion is to approve the agreement with Trivers substantially in the form of the agreement in your packet.
Mr. Cusick, are you that motion is amenable to you? Ms. Klein? Thank you. Is there any discussion or further questions of the city manager or of Trivers or of Mr. Apazlan? I apologize, Mr. Klein. You know, I've got several sheets of glass here.
I
can see now. Yes, please.
I understand, Mayor. Thank you. First of all, thank the city manager for proposing the charrette. I think to the degree that we can engage our community in this process and make them aware of what's happening, we're all better served. At the end of the day, we know it is not our funds, but their funds that we're using, however that manifests. So I do appreciate that and hope that there'll be robust discussion about what community engagement looks like. I had two more specific questions. Within the proposal, there's, I believe, a section on sustainability. We have a very robust Green Practices Commission within University City, and as you might imagine, they talk a lot about sustainability in buildings within University City. Not a lot of conversation about our own necessarily, because we've not done a lot. So this offers a unique opportunity. And I don't know if this is a question more for you or the city manager about some engagement with our Green Practices Commission in moving forward. I'm not sure who that should go to.
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Clay, I believe that we would be able to incorporate a discussion with the Green Practices Commission. Seeing Amanda nod her head, so yes, we'll make sure that that they make themselves available to have that discussion with the Green Practice Commission.
And I think what you're proposing would be very exciting to them. Some of the things you're looking to do. Second and final question relates to page I-345. I'm looking at the sixth bullet point. And it talks about amenities in the connector to support community programs. Curious about what the amenities are and the community programs that are referenced in this phrase.
So it's that's kind of generically speaking to the ways in which that connector is being designed to be a one-stop, but as well there are accessible public restrooms, which aren't currently on accessible floor right now. And there are also a couple of meeting spaces, which aren't necessarily just for city use, but can also be used for any other community programming. We're not suggesting programming that doesn't exist right now, but it is going to be rooms that are going to be much more accessible to the public.
These will serve as meeting rooms for community folks. The purpose, I know the city would be involved in, you wouldn't necessarily be involved in that, but this just want to understand what that statement meant. So that gives me some degree of clarification. Thank you.
Yeah. Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Clay, I would like to highlight that the priority will be on internal operations, but when we are not using those meeting rooms, we want to make it available to the community to host meetings as well.
Thank you. Any other questions? Any other discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed?
Nay.
The ayes have it. Mr. Rose.
Honorable Mayor and Council members, this agenda item asks the Mayor and Council to consider making a pledge to stop the spread of invasive species. I would ask Mr. Dunkel to present this item. Mr. Dunkel.
Thank you, Mr. Rose. Mayor Crow, members of Council. Basically, this pledge publicly expresses what staff is already doing within our forestry and park system, as well as our volunteers such as UCity and Bloom, Green Practices Commission, Urban Forestry Commission, and other volunteers to remove invasive species from our public lands, as well as to stop the planting of invasive species as identified by the Missouri Department of Conservation.
Is there a motion? Motion made by Mr. McMahon, seconded by Ms. Klein. Is there a discussion or questions of Mr. Dunkel or of the city manager? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. I apologize. We now move forward to new business resolution 2021-12. A resolution establishing the Visioning 2040 Task Force. Is there a motion to approve? Motion made by Mr. Hales. Is there a second? Second made by Mr. Cusick. Mr. Rose, do you want to speak to this or?
Honorable Mayor and Council members, this resolution, if approved, would create a 13-member task force to work with staff and the consultant in guiding the community through a visioning process. I propose the A Community Visioning 2040 Task Force consists of 13 members who shall be appointed by the mayor with the consent of the city council. I'm recommending that the mayor appoint the chair of the task force, and included in your packet is a list of the commissions and boards and committees that I am recommending you select the task force from.
And if I may ask, are we selecting the members or the commission selecting them, or how is that from each of those different commissions, how is that population then being selected? Is it by?
Honorable Mayor and council members, you could do it either way. Either you can select the members, or you can make a request from each of the boards, committees, or commissions listed here and ask for a representative from that respective agency.
And I believe, I don't want to cut Mr. Smotherson off, I think he's got a question. Mine is just, as we go through all these commissions, I would strongly want all of us to be cognizant of both geographic, racial, and male, female, age, diversity, so that we get everyone's perspective. And I worry that if we let the commissions pick, then they won't know what any of the other commissions have picked, and we could end up with an awful lot of folks who look alike, smell alike, walk alike, whatever the case may be, and then we have to backtrack and say, well, we really, this does not represent our community. And so I'm throwing that out there actually to all of you, that I think we need to be comfortable with where we are on this. And so I don't know that I necessarily have a solution. I don't know that it's always beneficial for the council to pick. I would say though that each of you are liaisons to these commissions, and it would probably behoove us if maybe the liaisons worked through some of the commissions, and then we could sort of sift through and provide that information maybe to Ms. Reese or the city manager, and see how we are doing as far as all three wards and other matters that I think are important to us. Mr. Smotherson.
Thank you, Mayor Crowe. And that was my point. That was the point that I was going to try to make also. And I'm glad you did that and clarified that. Because my concern was to making sure that this task force represents the city and has equal representation. So thank you, sir.
It is, and by the way, there you know, as you learn in life, there are many pathways to get to the same place. If are you comfortable with each of you as liaisons to your commissions, providing us with folks that you think may be interested in serving from those commissions, and then we could work with the city manager and Ms. Reese to make sure that we've got the appropriate diversity that represents the fabric of our community. Is that something that I see a nodding of the heads? And by the way, I really do not in any way want to supplant the workings of any commission or its chair. I just think if we don't have some input in this, I think we could have a result that does not represent our community. So anyone have any input for me?
I mean, I would agree that council liaison and likely in some sort of communication with the chair is the appropriate way to go. Because we're going to have a perspective that individual commission chair people aren't going to have. So,
correct. And I would say I don't necessarily believe that every chairperson needs to be the one coming onto this commission, because I think frankly life gets in the way. They may have other things going on, and they may be ready to term out, whatever the case may be. So I'm hoping that each of you will, if you agree with the vision that Mr. Rose has set out with the 13 commissions, that we can divide those up and that you folks can start looking. And frankly, I think, I don't know whether Mr. Rose intends to do it himself or whether he wants Ms. Reese to sort of keep the tally. I think we would like to coordinate on the tally, and I'm more than willing to pick the chair. Does the chair come out of the 13, or does the chair in addition to? The chair comes out of the 13?
That's okay. Correct.
Yeah. Okay. With that with that guidance? Is there a level of comfort with my colleagues that we can move forward with the resolution? It looks like there's a nodding of the head. So I will ask, is there any other discussion or questions regarding resolution 2021-12? Hearing none, those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. We'll now move forward to the bills. May we have the first reading of bill? Let's see what I have. May I have the first reading of bill number 9436.
Bill 9436, an ordinance amending chapter 110 of the University City Municipal Code relating to administration by repealing section 110.040 thereof relating to disclosures of conflicts of interest and enacting in lieu thereof a new section to be known as section 110.040 disclosure of conflicts of interest.
Thank you, and I apologize. I really do need someone to make the introduction. Mr. Smotherson, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Would someone like to introduce bill number 9437? Mr. Hales, may we have the first reading?
Bill 9437, an ordinance to authorize the city manager to execute a contract between the City of University City and the Missouri Highway and Transportation Commission, providing for the Canton Avenue Improvement Project.
Thank you. Would someone like to introduce bill number 9438? Mr. McMahon, may we have the first reading?
Bill 9438, an ordinance approving a final plat for a major subdivision of a tract of land to be known as 8400 Delmar Boulevard.
Thank you. And would someone like to introduce bill number 9439? Mr. McMahon, may we have the first reading?
Bill 9439, an ordinance amending a final development plan for the proposed 8400 Delmar development located at 8400 Delmar Boulevard.
Thank you. Would someone like to introduce bill number 9440? Mr. Smotherson, may we have the first reading?
Bill 9440, an ordinance amending section 400.070 of the Municipal Code of the City of University City, Missouri, relating to the official zoning map by amending said map so as to change the classification of property at 1309 Partridge Avenue from public activity to planned development residential use district and establishing permitted land uses and developments therein, containing a savings clause and providing a penalty.
Thank you. That concludes the new business. Are there any? I'm sorry, Mr. Smotherson.
And sorry about that, Mayor. Thank you very much. I just wanted to make a note for the city manager about this bill, 9440. If you would please, sir, when we introduce this on the next meeting for the second and third reading, if we could have input from the fire department and also our police chief on this matter, because I think this there's a concern that I have, and I think Councilmember Clay shares that. The concern that I have is the design, and it's specifically the ingress and egress of the site plan for this building. And I'd like to get their opinion, even though I know that this is going to go through traffic. I'd just like to get their opinion on that matter. So if you don't mind, thank you.
Concluding the new business, are there any reports from members of council from any of your boards or commissions? Mr. Clay.
Yes, thank you. Green Practices met last week, and there were a few items, but I'll touch on a couple. They're in the process of looking at some ways to address the issues within Ruth Park Woods, invasive species for actually being one of them. But for those of you that have been in the woods, there's a lot of overgrowth, invasive species, and just some general care that needs to be taken. So there's some grant opportunities that the city and the commission are looking at to help address that. And the most substantial news, the Green Practices Commission reviewed a sustainability plan, and are gave input into that plan. I believe folks from WashU may have been involved with helping to put that together. So they will be undoubtedly bringing that forward, I think, to the council at some point. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Hearing no one, there are no citizen comments that I believe are in the box. Are there any concluding council comments by my colleagues this evening? Mr. Smotherson.
Again, thank you, Mayor Crowe. I just wanted to recognize the loss that we've had in the last couple of weeks. And I don't have a prepared statement or anything, but I just wanted to just point out that with the loss of Hazel Irby on July 5th, and the loss of, and it was interesting that we were on our way to a balloon releasing event at Fogarty Park when we got the news that Betty Thompson had passed. And so what I wanted to just point out is that for the African Americans in the Third Ward, for the residents of University City, that is a huge void that has now opened in reference to representation, history, and the people that advocated for African Americans in not only University City, but St. Louis County. And I just wanted to point out to the University City how important Hazel Irby was to U City, period. And because she was not only a resident, but she cared deeply about University City. And so a lot of her concerns were pointed at us. And Hazel Irby fought. Her years being on St. Louis County and the things that happened to her, and she stood up tall and was really, she just struggled with the things that they were happening to her and societal issues, I would actually say, because there are some things that should have happened for Hazel Irby, especially being the first Black woman on that council, that should have happened but didn't happen simply because of that fact. So I just want to recognize the void that we now have, not only in the Third Ward, not only, but also in University City. So I just want to recognize that. Thank you.
Mr. Clay.
Thank you, Mayor Crowe. And I too want to echo my condolences to the family of Hazel Irby and Betty Thompson, and acknowledge that I am in the seat I am in because of the place that they took. I am of a generation that immediately preceded those icons who were the first to do many things. And I stand on their shoulders, understanding that they paved the way for me to do the things that I have done. With Hazel Irby specifically, when I was had been in University City not too terribly long, I got the crazy notion to run for school board. And she was among the first folks I talked to about that. And she gave me sage advice. And it was really about being true to what was right, and in that context, doing the best that I could for the children and families of University City. And that was her. That was her in any context, in any situation, about doing right and doing her best. And she will be missed, along with Betty Thompson, who again was a pioneer. And without her, I would not be in the seat that I'm in.
Thank you. Any other comments to be made this evening by my colleagues? Hearing none, I do not believe you guys can all breathe a sigh of relief. I do not believe we're going into executive session, and I almost believe we're not going to have a special session anytime soon. So is there a motion for us to adjourn? Motion made by Mr. Hales. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Cusick. All those, is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you very much for joining us this evening. The meeting is adjourned.